How are we all doing? Thank you. Careful what you say, we can hear everything. These things attached to the side of my head are not ornaments. They're extra special for radar. My eyes aren't so good, but the ears are really good. And while I'm fighting with this thing once again to try and fix it, there we go, I got it right. Where's Caleb and Jasmine? They were here 3 seconds ago. They took the baby. No, there's Grandma with the baby. We welcome them with Ethan. And so it's great to see them and the Johnson family in a struggle to see. No, I'm joking. They're not going to continue fighting like that. Well, we hope not anyway. Today's a good day. Well done to the kids' church and the black light and all the fun stuff that they did. It's all exciting. And as we learn to do this, the adults will break down their inhibitions and their shyness. And thank you. If you want to learn how to break down your inhibitions and your shyness, Janine's going to be doing classes after church. So other than that, I should get preaching. Today is today is what I want to call a Vision Sunday, and we're going to do some more of that next week, but not just today. So today is a part and parcel of it. And engineer connecting engineers of influence, part 7. And so this morning I want to talk about connecting a more excellent way. Connecting a more excellent way. There we go. And the entire series that we've done and the build-up is to where we are today. And the point of being engineers of influence is so that we understand that we are not just called to come to church on Sundays and be here on Sundays, but God has a bigger plan, and everything that He has for us is actually great to come together on a Sunday, but it's for us to be out there. The big idea is that it's not just to come to church, but go beyond our four walls and touch people's lives beyond our four walls. However, church is a good, safe place to start. Amen? Good. I'm glad you're all agreeing with me so far, because I want this to increase. Remember we talked about Matthew 5:14, and we said we look forward to those GDMs, God divine moments, when He orchestrates and we bump into people and we get to minister them and we get to touch their lives and their hearts, and we get to encourage people in the Lord. And so Matthew 5:14, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put under a basket, put it on a stand, give light to all the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Think of this way. You are a life radiating light. You are a life radiating life. Light. There we go. That's Ricky the ref, and all those words get us all twisted. Eh? We're set on a hill to draw, by our testimony, others to Jesus. We look at it that way. We carry the kingdom life within us, a living testimony to those around us and the world who have not heard or seen that light. Might be so bold to say they might have seen people who say they're Christians, but they haven't seen that light. Holy Spirit in us. Holy Spirit, would you come today? And as I speak, Lord God, would you touch our lives this morning? Would you ignite us? Would you change us? Would the world see the light of the goodness of the kingdom through the good works that we do? Not for us, but so that our Father who is in heaven will be glorified. We do this not out of self-promotion or gain, but to honor our Father and Savior, Lord Jesus Christ, and Holy Spirit, our Paracletos. There is a process of loving people. And what I want to call number one is when we add value to others. When we add value to people. 1 Corinthians 12, and just as a matter of interest, Bridget didn't know what I was preaching on today, but the fact that she came, she wanted to read 1 Corinthians 13 is very important, because that's where we get to. That's what it's all about. But in 1 Corinthians 12, you can go and read it. It starts off, he says, I do not want you to be uninformed. Or some scripture says, I don't want you to be ignorant about the gifts. And so he's writing to the Corinthian church. And then he goes, Paul goes on and explains how you are this part of the body and you're that part of the body and you're this ligament and you're the eye and the hand and all that kind of stuff. And then sometimes we understand that we get to the place that we have this amazing amount of gifts in us. And then he says, now you are the body of Christ, individually members of it. So we're together. If you just take the body again, because that's what the scripture says, it's the easiest one, and just try and separate your piece, your arm, your eye, your head, then we have a bunch of pieces of body floating around the universe of no good or unhelpful to anybody. And it even goes on and says that sometimes we even think, well, I'm just a little piece and I'm not worth much and I'm not valuable much. He says those parts are indispensable. So if you think, well, I don't have much to offer, that's what Paul's talking about. You are indispensable. You are highly valued. And then he goes on in the verse 31 says, but earnestly desire the higher gifts. Now what was happening in the Corinthian church, they were all going off to tongues and all that kind of stuff. And he's saying, guys, that's all great. Use it. Have your gifts. Function in them. But I will show you still a more excellent way. Then that leads us into 1 Corinthians 13. And we know that the 13th chapter is all about love. Unfortunately, we get things back to front sometimes. Remember we're saying a more excellent way, connecting a more excellent way. We're having a look. And this is how we think we got to do it. Like this. So if I meet someone who doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ, then I've got to preach at them and tell them, turn or burn, you're going to hell, you're a sinner, etc., etc. Why? Because we think, if I do that, then God, they'll get it, then God will fix them up. And if God fixes them up, then they won't be messy people, then they'll be all sorted out. Then we can find their need for them. Then we can, once we've found their need, then we can add value to them. And then we'll just love them. And that sounds good. And that's unfortunately how often we do things when we're trying to connect with people. Why? Because we don't want to spend time with messy people. Be honest. If we got a lot of issues, you go, oh, jeez, issue again. And you're not that, when we live that way, does not add value. Doesn't help. It's not helpful. Doesn't add value to them. This is how we should do it, though. We love them first. When we love them, then we add value to them. Because when you love someone, you add value, you encourage them, you add value to them. And then when we're adding value to them, we become transparent with them. Like we've never had any problems in our lives before. Like we were never messed up one time. Like we've got it all sorted and we got it all sorted together. And then we will share struggles with them. And then the most important thing of all this is we connect them to Jesus. And then we love them again. And then they understand this and they don't go out and go, well, when no, I've got to preach it to you and tell you how bad you are. And now that you know how bad you are, then you better come to Jesus, because now God's fixed you up. Now I can relate to you. Thank you. One of the greatest things I saw visiting my brother down in Kentucky once was that they had a church and they were building this church. And there was a sign outside. And it says, excuse the mess, we're building a church. And who knows, family gets messy. And I think that's a great sign, not just for external, but for internal. Excuse the mess, we're building a church. We're building a family. We're building the body of Christ. That's where we're sold. That's where we want to go. We take care of their needs. We add value to them. We care for them. We add value to those within our sphere. Doesn't matter where you are, in your work, in your school, on the bus, wherever you go. We've done this whole thing of your sphere of influence. Wherever you are, you should be adding value to people. Why? Because then that adds value if we do it this way. The next thing is there's a process of loving people, as we're talking about. Number two is engineer intentional community with others. When we engineer intentional community with others, how can I build? How can I do this? Well, most of us are already in some form of community. How about with those various activities that you're involved in? Some of you go to gym, some of you belong to certain kinds of clubs or whatever. It doesn't matter. How about those people you regularly meet with? How about those people that you say, hey, every Friday I go to lunch with so-and-so. I meet Jim in the gym 2 or 3 times a week. Take the community that you're involved with and be intentional with it. Hebrews 10:20 says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir one another up to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing. This calls forth a faithful, unwavering embrace of the confession of our hope. The ascent of Jesus' teaching to the church and his work, encouraging one another, adding value. Now you're going, yeah, Mark, you've spoken a lot this morning, and I know that was just the intro, because I want us to understand what we're doing. And I, speaking on behalf of the elders and the deacons, we're excited about this venture we're on, right?
Yeah.
Okay, good. So there's how can we connect a more excellent way? We can do it simply. We can do it interestingly, with interest. We can do it effectively. We do it with transparency, and we do it connecting others to Jesus. You say, well, what are you on about, Mark? I'm so glad you asked. I'm on about a thing called connect groups. Now, I know some of you don't. Just stay with me. Stay where you are with me right now. Connecting together. Leaders facilitating, connecting, sharing, like the body and the limbs. And that's what we call them, connect. Well, why are you using the word connect? Well, if you think about the bridge and look at the building there. Those things, I used it last week. The stanchions that are up here. And if you look at a bridge, the wires and everything that connects it together. Secondly, it's like the body of Christ. It's connected together with limbs and sinew and joints and marrow. And it's held together. Colossians tells us, in Christ Jesus, everything is held together when we walk in that way. So what we're going to do, some people in their churches call them small groups. Some people call them life groups. Some people call them house churches. This is what we're proposing, and where we want to go is none of that. So get that out of your head before. Because I know some of you are thinking, I went to small groups. I did small groups. I was sharing the other day with the elders and the deacons. Yeah, I went to a small group once. I don't think I'd given my life to the Lord at that stage or recommitted my life. Bridget had, and she insisted I go with this to this amazing group of younger people. And we went to this amazing group, and they did what I love to do. They burnt meat on a fire. And we drank, and we pop, and we ate lots of meat, and if you wanted to, you could eat some salads too. And then we went into the house, and they put on some nice quiet worship music. Please don't hear me saying this is wrong. This was not where I was at and wasn't helpful for me, okay? I'm just being honest. You know that part I spoke, being transparent? That's that part. And they all sat down on the carpet. Bear in mind now, I'm not serving Jesus. I'm at this thing at Bridget's request. And they're all let's just worship. I'm going, oh my word. This is a bunch of nuts. I love the meat. I love the fellowship. I love connecting, and now we're all doing kumbaya on the carpet. So why am I telling you all that? Why am I pointing this out to you? The point is, you don't stop going if you have a bad experience. Any of you ever had a bad haircut? You can put up your hand. Yeah, a whole bunch of you. Did you stop going for haircuts? No. Ever been to a restaurant and had a bad meal? I just want to know I'm talking to the right people. Yeah. Did you stop eating out? No. Did you ever, ever go to work and have a bad day at work? School. Did you ever go to school and have a bad day at school? Yeah, Chris never went to school. This Chris, yeah. Did you stop going to school? Did you stop eating out? No, you either went back and tried the hairdresser again or found a new hairdresser. Or you found a different restaurant or tried a different meal. You don't stop going. I mean, I would have stopped this whole small group thing. No, but it's a biblical, foundational thing for us to do. So we want to introduce what we want to connect groups, and we want to change the way we think about things. And part of that means we want them to be interesting. We want them to be fun for you, for us. This is not you do this and we're not going to, we involved. This has got to be interesting. It's got to be fun. It's got to be challenging. Well, I don't know so much if I like challenging. No, it's good because it'll help you to grow. The Bible says iron sharpens iron, and we grow and mature. And it's got to be, what else is it got to be? It's got to be fun. It's got to be challenging, uplifting, encouraging, and it's discipling. It'll help disciple us. Connect groups. So here's the interesting thing. Connect groups, because now we have some life groups and they happen this, that. Now connect groups can happen anywhere, anytime. Yes. They can happen in the morning. They can happen in the evening. They can happen in a coffee shop. They can happen out in the field. They can happen any day of the week, any evening of the week, any morning of the week, whatever you choose. Can you wear jeans? Okay. You can wear shorts for those who want to wear shorts and t-shirts. The point is, we want to see people move forward in God one step at a time. We want them to go from A to B to C to D and so on. We do not have to go from A to Z today. You remember we've used that expression about every touchdown, where's Ricky Ref gone? When every time there's a touchdown, it's 1 yard, and they celebrate it. And we want to celebrate each other. We want to build into each other's lives. We want to be family. We want to be connected. We want to be those that help assist people forward. Well, I don't know. I'm not that smart. I don't know. I'm not that good. So number one, let's just have a look. Connecting is simple. We'll make it simple. Not difficult. I love what Acts 4:13 says. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated, the Greek word there is agrammatos, common, idiotis, you can figure that one out yourselves. Men, they were astonished, and they recognized that they had been with Jesus. Now, when they wrote this in the scriptures, they didn't want to be that nasty to us, but actual fact, the word agrammatos means illiterate. They were the lowest rung of people. They could not read and write. Because they worked at Jewish school is the bright ones got to go to school, and then the even brighter ones got to go to high school, and then the very bright ones got to go to study and become Pharisees and Sadducees, and they were very sad, you see. And the word common is idiotes, which means unskilled, unlearned, and uneducated. Now I know the people here are all literate. They're all educated, you're all skilled, you're all gifted, you're all talented. So that leaves you out of the equation here. And here are Peter and John doing this great stuff amongst the crowd. And they're going, these are unschooled, ordinary men. How come they're doing this stuff? And then they come to the one. Do you remember the last point I made? Connected to Jesus. Connected to Jesus. They had been connected with Jesus. They had been with Jesus. The second one, so we're connecting is simple. Second, we want connecting these groups to be interesting. Well, how do we make it interesting then if I've got to go to the life group, because we still have the best one, and you sit and listen to Mark teach all the time. When you've got something else burning in your heart and passionate about something. So we want to make them interesting, that they're going to be based on your passions and or your preferences or your professions. And I know she's going to shake her head, but I used her as an example, but this is what I'm trying to say. Well, do you mind, Susan? So everyone knows what Susan does. So if Susan has this passion to teach people about money, and she wants to do a budgeting course, then she's going to do a budgeting course. And when I said this last time, she went. But that's her profession. So probably she doesn't want to get involved in her profession. But the point is, if you have something in your profession that you go, yeah, man, I can draw on that. I want to do that. Then we're going to do that. You can build it around things you love. You can do it about things you love, things that you love to do, things that you love and love to do. Did I cover all the bases? Which means you can build it around things like hockey. You can build it around football nights, hockey nights, building stuff, if you like to build stuff, drinking coffee, quilting, sewing, Bible study, whatever your passion is. Fly fishing, running, cycling, baking, gym, dog walking, a prayer group. Allow your creative juices to flow. What do you love to do? Oh yeah. When we make it interesting, we do it with people who are interested in those kind of things. So if Ken were desired to do fly fishing or kiteboarding, flying kiteboard, whatever the thing's called, that thing, obviously I won't be going to that one. But man, I want to go with you. I want to learn how to fly fish, Ken. Teach me how to fly fish. We'll spend a couple of weeks together and you teach me how to fly fish. And then we'll have a big fish fry at church. Barbecue. Fish barbecue at church. Where's your faith, sister? Come on. Yeah. Okay, so we've got to be interesting. I just want to make sure. Number three, connecting is effective. And how do you say it's effective? Well, they are effective personally for you when you decide you want to lead one or facilitate one. It's good for you to grow and mature into this thing. Secondly, it's a double impact or a double whammy for those who come and join your group and say, man, I want to fly fish with you, Ken, and now I'm going, but I don't know how to do it. Now it's going to test his patience a little bit. Because while he's out there just doing, oh, it's just me and a river runs through it, you know, the whole brilliant movie. Anyway, no, Mark, it's not like that. It's like this. I know, Ken, you don't understand. I'm left-handed, you know. And so, no, we'll do it this way. It's going to grow him, mature him, let him be spirit, and it's going to grow me as well. Because we've got to be effective. It's double impact. You know, in God's economy, when you invest in other people, listen to me, young people, when you invest in others, your value in God goes up. When you do it for yourself, well, it's all about me, when I just want to do it for me, your value in God's economy goes down. You ever heard of, he gives grace to the humble, but opposes the? There we go. You'll be surprised how you will grow and influence in a greater measure. Next one is connecting brings transparency. When we get to connect and bring and share with one another, we build relationally. Because then, in a much smaller group, we get to rub shoulders a little bit more. You get to know a little bit about me. And I understand that I'm different out of the pulpit than I am in the pulpit. Because people have been telling me that. I'm going, I thought I was just the same. But obviously I'm not. And I suppose when I come here, I'm just focused, and I like their fun too. You know, see? I mean, oh, it's all fell off. I mean, do you think I would just wear the shirt any day of the week? Yeah. We have to learn to share struggles with each other and brings us together. This is not a time when you think, well, I'm going to be the leader. I want to lead the groups and I'm going to fix everybody. No, that's not being transparent. That's being called the other person. You know, when we want to be transparent, we got to be transparent and say, you know what, I've also got issues. I've also understand stuff, but let's do this together. Let's do life together. Let's join together. Yeah, in Ecclesiastes 4 verse 9, it goes, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him who is alone, and when he falls and has not another to lift him up. Again, if two lie together, they keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? And though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. When we stand together, when we come together and we invest in each other and we stand, we say that the wise person will pursue cooperative ventures rather than give to jealous strivings. To be a first at striving that isolates them. In scripture it talks about, remember, diatrophies? Diatrophies, me first, I'll do this, I'll do that, I'll get this done, I'll sort that. Oh, by the way, you guys can't come in here, you just leave here because I'm all in charge and I'm handling this thing. No, you always love to be first. A three-fold cord cannot be broken. It's the plurality. Be there to share each other's struggles. And needless to say, keep confidences. This is not now when we get together, we're all going to share all our deep inner secrets. But you're going to talk and build together and connect together. James 5:16, therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another, that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working, as it continually works, as you continually pray for one another. One of the greatest stories I ever heard in a connect group situation was a parents were having this baby, their first baby. And when the baby was born, there were some issues with the internal organs. And they said, listen, just to be honest with you, there's nothing we can do. Your baby will die shortly. And so what they did is they called they were Christians, and they called their connect group. And 15 or so many people arrived at the hospital, and they were in the cafeteria praying for this family, praying for the baby, praying for each other, taking their meals, witnessing to the nurses and the doctors, feeding the nurses and the doctors. And they were like to the couple, who are those people? They said, those are our connect group. Those are the people who love us. Those are the people who care for us. Those are the people who are willing to stand with us. Those are the people who have come alongside. They said, we have never seen anything like this in our lives before. When Jesus healed the people, I'm jumping ahead. They were connected together better than just in a classroom context. Connecting is simple. Connecting is interesting. Connecting is effective. Connecting brings transparency. And last point, we connect people to Jesus. When Jesus healed people, he walked away. And often he said, don't go and tell anyone. And sometimes he said, your sins are forgiven you. Go and sin no more. And that was it. He didn't say, okay, now let me tell you, and I'm going to give you the seven things, and I'm going to build on this. No. He loved them. He added value to them. He actually brought value to them. He healed them and said, go and tell nobody. And then he went on and moved on. And the people all around them, I got signs at the back. Remember, 2 Corinthians 5:20, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. We want to connect people. Remember, you are an ambassador of Christ. You are making His appeal to others through you. You're connecting and shining the light and bringing life. 2 Corinthians 2:14. But thanks be to God who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession. Not defeated, not sort of, not half, not maybe, in triumphal procession, and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of Him everywhere. For you are, we are, the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. Connecting together, the groups, I know I've missed out some of my stuff here, but we'll talk more next week. Where we understand, and these are not going to be big groups. We're looking at a minimum of 3 people in a group. It can be 10, it might be 5, it might be 6, but at least 3. So we'll unpack and roll out this a little bit more. Highly important. Well, is this for the leadership of the church, the elders and the deacons? No. This is for anybody. We're going to set up a thing on the website, and I know I'm going over my time now. We're going to set it up on the website, and you can come up with an idea and apply it, and we'll roll that out a little bit next week. But if you've got any questions over this over lunch today, ask any of the elders, any of the deacons, and they should be able to give you the ideas. Just remember, connecting is simple, it's interesting, it is effective. It brings transparency, but it connects people to Jesus, and that's the discipling part in all our hearts. And so the final thing is, get connected. We want to get connected. So we're just going to hand over to Kevin now, and we're going to do communion. And if those of you want prayer during this time, you can come up to the front. We want to minister to you. Minister to each other in the groups while we're doing communion. But think about this, and what can you do to help facilitate this, to move somebody from point A to point B? As I said, you don't have to go to point Z. And what's important, these are going to be done on a term by term basis. So we hope to launch them in October, and we'll go through to the end of November. So it's only 6 weeks, and that you come and be part of this for 6 weeks, and then obviously we'll break over the vacation times, but it's just so that the family of God can come closer together. Amen? Amen. Are you excited? Yeah. All right, let's try that again. I know you probably all got a million questions running through your brain right now. And if I say yes, that means I've committed. Now, you're already committed when you came to this body of believers. Amen.